All right, welcome back here to the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5 The Game, brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel. Chase McCabe off today. Dr. Crane sitting in for him. Craziness from last night from college football, the last 2 days, what's going on, everything else. And today's also the beginning of the transfer portal. Now, we all think we know what's going on, that a guy gets in the portal, you give him $1 million, and he shows up at your campus. That is so not how it works. So the official coach of the Chase and Big Joe Show, our good friend, the head football coach at Eastern Kentucky University, Walt Wells, proud McGavick High School graduate, joins us now. Coach Wells, happy new year. How are we doing?
Doing great, Joe. Appreciate you having me on.
All right. Tell me, so the portal starts today. I know you're in the middle of all that. What's going on? We're not going to talk about players, but about the process. So how does this work? A guy puts his name in the portal, and now today you can contact him today?
Yeah, you can actually talk to him legally today and start the conversations. You got 2 weeks, depending on your academic calendar, and when you start back to school, to get him, you know, interested, talk about the contracts, talk about the scholarship, talk about all those type of things, and then get him enrolled and get him ready to go.
Now, do you have to work hand in hand with the admissions department to make sure everything is good to go?
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially at our level, but yeah, at any level, you have to do that because they're still academically, they have to be able to get in, they have to do everything. So, what a lot of people did is because you can't talk to the player, you talk to the agent. And my understanding is a lot of the schools were accepting the transcripts from the agents. So, you know, where you haven't talked to the player, you've talked to his agent. And so that has led you to believe that they want to come to your institution. So the athletic department, some of them across the country, have decided that that is okay to accept transcripts from them, upload them in the system, and start having them ready so they can go on official visits.
So it's legal for a coaching staff to talk to an agent before he talked to a player?
Correct.
Okay. I had no idea that's how that was. So now you get a player that you like, and you got to – do you meet him in person? Do you bring him to campus? How does that work?
Well, we cannot go off campus right now because you're in a quiet period, but you can have them come on campus. So they can come on campus in an official visit, you know, platform, which most people nowadays are doing one – instead of two nights, they do one night, and on the transfers anyway, and bring them in, show them what's, you know, this is, you know, where your money's going to come from. This is the weight room. This is the, you know, practice field. This is how we're going to, you know, utilize you in our systems, all that kind of stuff. And then probably the last thing anybody does is academics.
All right. So is there a portal list that you guys go into like, oh, I want to talk to this guy, that guy, this guy, that guy? Is that how you get, if you haven't talked to the guy's agent, but there's somebody out there that you like, is that how you do it? Then you contact him that way?
Well, I mean, yeah, that's technically how you're supposed to do it. But if you're doing that, you're way behind. You only got 2 week window.
Right.
And so, you know, the portal closes January the 16th. We start school the 20th. So you have to be ready. And then there's a dead period. Not this week. Well, it's Friday. Next week, when we go to the convention, which is our National Coaches Convention, there's a dead period, which nobody's going to. Everybody's going to stay at home and work.
Right.
And try to figure it out. So, you know, and it's a pecking order. You know, your Tennessees, your Vanderbilts, all them, you know, they're going through their guys first, and then it falls all the way down to, you know, the next level of P4s and then the D5s, and then boom, 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 here we go. And so, you know, the Division II, NAI, and junior college kids have been open this whole time. So a lot of people have, you know, like Trinidad Chambliss, who played last night, right?
Yep.
D2 guy. People could have been talking to him all along because he's Division II.
Interesting. All right, we're talking to Coach Walt Wells, the official coach of the Chase and Big Joe Show. He's the head coach at Eastern Kentucky right here on 102.5 The Game.
Yeah, well, looking at the landscape of college football, obviously I'll ask you about some of the coaches that are coaching elsewhere. They're going to another university soon. But you look at teams right now, and you mentioned the admissions office kind of working hand-in-hand with those agents. Is that kind of what holds up a lot of these NIL deals, is because there's a lot of finance involved with it along with the admissions process?
Correct. I mean, the admission process, I mean, you're going to know going into it real quick once you get his transcripts whether or not he's eligible or not. Most kids nowadays are eligible. It's whether or not, you know, how are they going to handle their seeking a degree if that's important to them, all right? You know, we've got guys that left us with 15 hours left. And, you know, when you transfer to another institution, you have to take, at most institutions, you have to take 40 hours to graduate.
Right.
So now you think about, there's, as of this morning, there was 3,000 NAIA Division II type Division III players in the portal. And then when I got a text this morning about 9:30, there was 2,500 FBS and FCS guys in. So there's over 5,500 kids in the portal already.
Holy cow.
You know, so you're talking about, I mean, the academic piece is important, but it, I mean, the graduation piece is not. It's just, are they going to be eligible? And then you got to negotiate your, you know, the money piece. And, you know, there's not a lot of negotiations for us, but at other levels where there's a lot of money, you know, there is a large negotiation piece that goes on. And you find out real quick, is the kid about money? Is he about playing football and wanting to win? What is he about? Because, you know, winning still matters to you as a coach, obviously. But to some of these kids, it's just about the money. And yeah, you got to figure out what you got to do and what you got to take, you know, who are the right guys to fit what you are trying to accomplish and what you have to accomplish. Some of these guys are, you know, going into their last year potentially at their institution. And so they're going to take whoever they think can help them win. And you know, you're going to say, well, everybody does that. Well, some people are going to take guys to develop the next year, maybe, or two. Some guys are going in the portal. And now that, you know, the SEC just passed a rule, you get 105 scholarships. Well, if they put everybody on scholarship, some of these guys are like, yeah, I'll go to Tennessee to be on scholarship and be a scout team player.
Yeah, you're right.
And you upgrade your look teams that way. And you don't have to pay them the money, you know, that your rev share money and or your NIL money.
It seems like, Walt, looking at from the outside looking in, the recruiting process in this NIL era, you mentioned that you can talk to NAIA, Division II, Division III players right now, but you have to kind of wait on those Power Four players a little later on. It just seems, well, now the portal's open, but in beforehand, that is. It just seems that
right,
the priority is those Division II, Division III NAIA players at the moment, and then you go look at your Power Fours. I wouldn't say the land of misfit toys of those players, but definitely the guys that are not getting those starting roles.
No doubt about it. And it depends on what level you're talking about. Like for us, D2 players, D3, NAI, we're finding a little worth in JUCOs now because not as many people are going to the JUCO route, especially at the P4 level and the G5 level, because you know, the resources aren't as great as they are at other places. And so at least you know what they've gone through for them, because we all do about the same thing. So they've all gone through winter program, study tables, you know, they've handled the workload, they've handled the season load, they've handled all that stuff that is a little different at the junior college level than it is at the other levels. So, yeah, everybody's gone through that. You get a little break for Christmas. Like for us at the FCS level, we could have been out. We were out recruiting in December, where FBS could not be out recruiting. They had to sit at home and do it from at home, and so you know, which gave them time to do some things. And you find out who's going in the portal. You know, like I'm pretty much, there's no surprises today. You know, there'll be one, I'm sure, but I hadn't heard it yet. But there's, you know, everybody has told us prior who's going into the portal. And you know what? Good luck to you, and I hope it works out. And it will. It'll work out however they need it maybe not want it to, but however they can get it to work out, it'll work out for them.
Yeah, you know, the reports kind of came out last night after the Sugar Bowl that Charlie Weiss Jr., you know, it's mentioned that Lane Kiffin is not going to let some of those coaches coach in the next round of the playoff. It just it frustrates me as a college football fan and also just someone that watches the game in general. What do those programs do, especially in Kentucky, especially? You have Will Stein, who's at Oregon right now. Like, how is that all transpiring to kind of navigate the portal?
Well, I'd say Will, you know, and without talking to him, he's probably back in Lexington right now getting ready for visits, having people in on visits and talking to him and going through all that. I'm sure Dan's given the Oregon team a couple of days off. So, you know, he can do everything from Lexington to game plan. He can have, you know, COVID was great and giving us Zoom. So we got Zoom meetings he can have with his staff. And then he'll be out in Oregon when it's time to get ready for practices. It'll be a hard fit a little bit to do. Private jets are nice, but Oregon to Lexington's not close at all, and so it's still going to be a lot of travel time involved, and it's going to wear everybody down. That's everybody's gripe is the calendar. The calendar screwed up. They're trying to make college football the NFL, but still have the academic integrity of academics and everything that goes along with the college piece. And they have to continue to do that. I get it. But they need to figure out how to make this thing all work in a better time frame. Because what they're going to end up doing is killing these kids and killing these coaches. The other thing is, you know, the portal doesn't open until January 2nd. That's great. I'm all for all that for where I'm at. But can you imagine if your school starts school January the 6th? I mean, you don't think these guys that are making hundreds to millions of dollars are not going to find ways around the rules to get those guys ready to go?
No, you're right with all that. We're talking to Walt Wells, the official coach of the Chase and Big Joe Show, head football coach at Eastern Kentucky University. All right, say there's a player at another school that wants to play for you. Can he legally reach out to you and say, hey, look at me? Or does he have to go into the portal and then you find him?
He has to go into the portal. Has to go into the portal legally for me to talk to him.
So if he goes
and reach out to me, he's going to have my number and he's going to send me something, right?
Okay.
And that's great. I can't respond.
So
okay? I can't do it.
Okay.
And so that is I'm sure going on 100% everywhere. Okay. Because you may have recruited that kid at one time. And so you have a relationship with him. He has your phone number. How can you stop him, you know, other than blocking him?
Right.
Well, hell, I can't go through every – I don't delete them all. I can't go through and block everybody that went to another school in my phone. And so, you know, those things happen. But legally, I cannot return or anything. Now, what ends up happening is a high school coach calls me and says, hey, Tommy's going into the portal. Are you interested? Yeah, let me get some I have a need at that position. Find a way to give me some film, and we'll watch the film and then go from there. That happens.
Okay.
All right? It's the same thing with an agent. Same thing with an agent. And so then the next thing everybody says, well, why is high school recruiting hurting? Well, because you can't replace a junior with a freshman. I mean, the maturity factor and the development factor is totally different.
Right.
And so you can't do that. And I talked to our high school association in Kentucky about this about 3 years ago. I said, guys, if you're going to keep selling your guys to the next level up that are playing for, you know, us, then guess what? It's going to be hard for me to continue to recruit your high school kids because I got to replace that development with this other guy. And, you know, it just is what it is. Don't get mad at me for not recruiting, you know, Stevie over here because you're selling Tommy to, you know, say the University of Kentucky, and you want me to replace him with Stevie who's on your team. I can't do that.
Right.
I got to go get, you know, Johnny over here at wherever. I mean, I had a kid last year that came from a SEC school, played 8 plays in 2 years. 8 plays. He played every game for us this year, started, did a great job, great kid, good person, the whole nine yards. And he went into portal. And I was told last night by his high school coach that he's got a chance to make over six figures.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just you're two 1-year your teams are 1-year teams now. And that's what they are. I mean, I had a young man 2 years ago go in the portal. He went to an ACC school. They had an incredible year. He's got 1 year left of eligibility if they don't change the 5-for-5 rule, which I don't think they are. And now he's in the portal again. So he played for us for 2 years, went and played for them and played for a championship, and then now he's back in the portal.
But
how's his graduation going to happen?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. But on the flip side of that, the young man that played for the Houston Texans played a few at Eastern, Jaden Higgins?
Higgins.
Correct. I can talk about him. Correct.
Yeah, yeah. But at the same time, you're proud of him because he took advantage of what was offered, and now he's kicking ass for the Texans, and he played for you.
No, there's no question about it. And you know, he came under COVID to us. Nobody really – I mean, I think a couple teams offered him early, but then nobody was recruiting him. We got him. One of our coaches did a great job, got him up. He came sight unseen, played for 2 years, broke records, did a great job, came in like, you know, hey, coach, I'm going to go in the portal. This is when it was young, and I knew he'd been getting tampered with. And, you know, what are you going to do about it? And he chose Iowa State, went there, had a great career, got an annuity and got all this stuff, got his education paid for, and was the first overall pick for the Houston Texans last year in the second round. And that was, but the first player they took, and he's having I'm sure he'll be all rookie this year. And a great player, great kid, 3-8 student. There's not one negative thing I can say about him other than I wish he could have stayed and played for us for two more years. But I understand why he did what he did.
Yeah, and it's a great story, that as well. All right, we're going to let you go. One question, though. Mike Woodward has texted in and wants to know why you got kicked out of the DuPont-McGavitt game after only one play back in 1984.
Well, I threw a punch, Joe.
One play. You go in one play, throw a punch, and you get ejected. Legend. Legendary.
Out.
And DuPont was never the same.
Well, you know, they had to close the school after that.
They did. Oh, man, that's so fantastic. Yeah, the boys all say hi. Roy, Al, Woody, Ham, Al, everybody says hi to you.
Tell them I said hello. Maybe when this thing ever slows down, I'll get down there for a night. We'll all go out to dinner.
Well, you know, Roy's wife is the backup singer for George Strait, so maybe we can get George Strait send you a little good luck video in 26.
That'd be awesome. I'd love it.
All right, Coach. Appreciate you, man. Safe travels.
All right. See you. Bye.
There you go. Coach Wells explained the portal. I mean, there is so much. I mean, you got to still recruit your own players. Like he was talking about, Vandy, Tennessee, got to still recruit their own players. And then there was a guy at, God, what school was he? He put down his portal list, and he put the school that he's at on the portal, like my really? Four schools that I'm looking at, like Iowa State, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. Whatever. And he's
Midwest
like,
teams.
Yeah, and he's at Wisconsin. So just chaos, man. I'm still confused.
I mean, I loved his insight when he talked about the just difference of going to D2, D3, and talking to agents at the same time. Like that, to me, shows you that you have a certain priority of certain players, pool players, that is.
Yeah, and where did Mr. Chambliss play last year?
Ferris State, thank you.
Yep. And then, look, these guys, you know this, Dr. Kern, you played football. Mm-hmm. Opportunity. That's all it is.
Just takes one play.
It is.
It really does.
How many coaches today are looking even deeper at Ferris State? I mean, they already are, but, I mean, on and on. Like, oh, okay.
After last night, you have eyeballs all over that
right?
University.
That's all right. Appreciate you, Coach Wells, for that. All right, we'll take another break. Come back. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show right here, brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5 The Game. All right, welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show. Chase off today, Nick Crane, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier in today with all this. as we talk about the portal. More news. I mean, you're like the portal alert desk.
Hey, Alabama wide receiver. I can't pronounce his last name, but Jalen Mbakwe has officially entered the transfer portal. Former five-star wide receiver in 2024. Gone.
Why would I guess, and I hate saying this, why would you not enter the portal?
I mean, you're right. Alabama, gone. Bye. The one issue I do have, I'm looking right now at the transfer portal news. Indiana defensive back Amarian Knighton has entered the transfer portal. A former four-star transfer last cycle coming out of Northern Illinois.
Does he play any?
If you're on the team, why would you leave? That's my issue I have. I don't know his stats. I'll look it up real quick, but I'd be a little perturbed by that.
And there's another deep dive into figure out, all right, are you playing? Why are you leaving now? You can win the national championship. But the portal ends on the 16th. Maybe you could get some value at another school.
One tackle on the season.
Well, then I get it, yeah, right? Then you go.
I understand. And it was, I think, first game of the season where they won 73-0 against Indiana State. So,
okay.
Bless his heart.
Well, I mean, good. I mean, he feels he can get something good for him.
Yep.
But that's the problem with the calendar that's going on, like Coach Wells is talking about, is that it comes right now, and then these other teams are left. And I don't feel sorry for Indiana, Miami, Ohio State, or Oregon, or – who's the other team that's left in there? Indiana. Damn it, Joe. Damn it.
It's all right.
It's going to happen. But if you feel your value is where it is, then you have no choice but to enter the portal.
The thing that I'm kind of catching in, you know, the narrative of on Twitter right now is that a lot of these transfers are coming from, like Coach Wells was talking about, D2, D3 schools. Like Portland State tight end is transferring to either Northwestern or Utah State. Like, that's a jump. Like, that's,
yeah, good for him.
Like, that to me,
you know, coming out of high school, he was probably overlooked, busted his ass for a year or two at D2 and says, hey, I can play with these guys. Because I'm telling you, I tell people this all the time, they work just as hard at Middle Tennessee State as you do at Tennessee, as you do at Cumberland, as you do at North Alabama. You're still going to work your ass off, right?
Exactly.
So if you want to feel like you play a big-time boy, then go play. And then the message, like when these schools play Power Four schools during the regular season, if I was a coach, I'd say, all right, Nick, you think you could play at Louisville? We're playing Louisville today. Go out and show Louisville that they messed up.
Exactly.
Go show them. And then the Nevada coach, Chris Ault, came out and said, hey, we're a springboard. Come here, then you could go make $1.5 million in Oregon. That's the that's what they've all created now. That so we can sit here and bitch and moan, and we don't like this. They created all this, the greed, everything. They created all this, and yeah, a monster is a great way to put it.
It's 100% a monster. It's just a monster with tentacles. You can call it an octopus if you want.
Who has a deposit slip for a bank?
Right,
right. Who can write numbers on the deposit slip?
You want how many zeros? 4 or 5?
Yeah, right.
Oh, 6. My bad. Let's put 6 zeros there.
Yeah, but like Kalen DeBoer is going to sit there today, like, oh my god, all these guys are going. I mean, this 5-star, 4-star receiver I've got. I mean, on and on and on.
Thank you for mentioning Kalen DeBoer, because if I'm Alabama and you're an Alabama fan looking at the portal today, it depends on how aggressive they are. If they're not aggressive, to me that tells me the AD is saying, look, DeBoer is probably out the window or out the door, whatever you look at it. Give him 2 or 3 games into next season. And then you get an interim coach, he's out of there, and you try to figure things out at that point.
I still think he's a good coach.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I think so too, but he doesn't fit the mold of Alabama. And I think Alabama fans agree to that.
I mean, you're right. I mean, he's –
because the reason why I mentioned, if you're not as active in the portal today, which they need offensive linemen after seeing a couple already leave, if you don't go after some offensive linemen during the portal now,
right,
you have a huge problem on your hands.
Did you watch the interview with the young man, the linebacker for Texas Tech? What's his name, Rodriguez?
Jacob Rodriguez.
And he talked about going to the portal?
I did not see this.
It was good. He's like, well, we're to the portal expecting all these offers left and right. And he goes, about 95% of us didn't get anything. Didn't get anything. So because you hit the portal doesn't mean you're guaranteed anything.
Yeah,
Coach Wells said, we have specific needs, and that's it. We got 3 great safeties. You might be a great safety. We don't need you, right? So we're moving on. We got needs. We need offensive lineman or receiver, whatever. But Rodriguez was a quarterback, I think, at Virginia. Mm. He's a great story. And he went to Texas Tech, didn't know how to play linebacker, and busted his tail, and there he was.
And he had the numbers to possibly be a Heisman candidate at some point. He had like 110 tackles on the season.
He was 6th or 5th in the voting.
Right outside, outside looking in, that is.
Well, I think it's great. But, again, because you enter the portal doesn't guarantee – like the kid from Indiana, you just said, I'm thinking, why is this guy entering? Then you do a deep dive like, oh, Only one tackle. Never plays. I get it.
Yeah.
You know, so why is he not playing? Not good enough.
And then you got a guy on the other hands over here from Troy, wide receiver DJ Epps, who entered the transfer portal. 6'1", 185, 46 passes caught, and 498 yards and 5 touchdowns.
Like Coach Wells said, again, the maturity level.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to take him or some guy that played high school football in Middle Tennessee,
right,
who's got to develop. I mean, it's tough right now. Middle's lost – MTSU's lost a lot of guys to Power 4 schools that are starting – on these teams right now. It's just, like he said, it's a one-year team now.
And look, you hate to see it that way because college football is definitely evolving. We all know it. You go to the high school football recruiting aspect of it, those one and two stars or maybe some three stars that get overlooked, they have to go walk on or get a preferred – well, I don't know if it's really preferred walk-on anymore, but to those small NAIA, Division II, Division III schools, then that's where all these teams go to recruit them, like a Eastern Kentucky. They're going to recruit them at a smaller college. So I think the high school football recruiting aspect's getting diluted a little bit because those recruits are – or not recruits, but those scouts are really only going after those four and five stars.
Right, yeah. Walt has a guy who played at Cumberland who transferred to Eastern Kentucky, started at strong safety for him, and kicked ass. So there are a lot of good – so because you go to Cumberland, don't say – I mean, there are a lot of guys – you come to me and give me everything you got, I could develop you into a good football player.
Mm-hmm.
Show me that you want to be here, right? So, and that's the thing, too. You take a lot of these guys sight unseen, you show up with a bad attitude, like, I finally know. But, again, that's the world they created.
And it goes to the Kurt Cignetti aspect of all this, culture, the change of culture. You have, as yourself, have to change the culture of, like you just talked about, going there and wanting to work. Change the culture of yourself to buy into that process. If you don't buy in, there's nothing.
That's right. I'm trying to go back to my mind and think of some great speeches coaches gave before games. My coach in JUCO gave a great one about the team, and I'm trying to remember all of it, but it was so impassioned. We're like, oh, my God, this is amazing. Anyway, you're right. Culture is huge, important. All right, we'll take another break. We'll come back. This is the Chase and Big Show. Look, our question today again, boldest sports predictions of 2026. Dr. Crane thinks that Kalen DeBoer will be fired at game three coming in the next year. That
honestly could happen. I really do. Hey, I got one door on Ryan Day I could get to you in a little bit.
Okay. Also, where do we stand on this Lane Kiffin stuff? Right? The rumor out there, the report out there is that, all right, Ole Miss, he loaned Ole Miss those coaches. Now it's time to come home and work for me. And that's unconfirmed, but it's out there. I'm not a fan of that. We'll talk more with that. Dr. Crane in for Chase McCabe. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show. Sponsored by the Omni Nashville Hotel, right here on 102.5 The Game.
Welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show. The Game Nashville Sports Network is your home for college football games. Presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Twin Peaks. Tonight on 102.5 The Game, Wake Forest takes on my Mississippi State Bulldogs in the Duke's Mayo Bowl.
Yeah!
That starts at 7 o'clock. For a list of the games carried on the Game Nashville Sports Network, visit thegamenashville.com/bowlgames. That'll be a fun one tonight. A 5-7 Mississippi State Bulldogs team going up against Wake Forest. That's 8-4. So, again, it's just, who wants to play an 8-4 team in the Duke's Mayo Bowl?
As we've talked about, there are no bad bowl games.
Right.
Do you think anybody at Mississippi State was like, oh, no, we're not going to go do that?
The ones that wanted to opt out or transfer probably. But minus that, no, everybody wants to play. It's another opportunity to, you know, put some tape out there. That's how I look at it.
Another opportunity to get better.
You're right.
My phone has gone crazy today with updates. Is yours doing that?
No.
Probably not.
I put mine on Do Not Disturb because I give you my undivided attention.
Although you wanted to kill me earlier, that's okay.
No, I did. Apparently, that's the thing. I didn't know I said that.
A lot of reaction. Dr. Crane asked me, he had to be. We're not going to redo this. But it was funny.
Yeah, it was just, you know, tease for the next segment on the other side.
And I thought I was dying.
You weren't dying.
I was like, please tell me I'm not dying here today.
Lay off the cigarettes.
What's your deal with Ryan Day now?
Ryan Day, look, you have a new coach in the Big Ten in Michigan, in Whittingham, right?
Yeah.
He can never beat Michigan, I mean, minus this past year. He's on the hot seat, man. I think he's gone. I really do.
Ryan Day, you want all these guys gone.
Look, they've been entitled. They've inherited good programs. Ryan Day inherited a very good program from Urban Meyer.
It's not his fault.
That's fine.
Okay. All right.
You got to capitalize off that. He's won, what, one national championship by
himself?
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
Yeah, but how many teams have been loaded in those years? Should have been in the national championship every single year just about. That's my big issue with it. And as for Kalen DeBoer, it's another guy I think that's out the door. Just they're waiting to sign their little permission slips to leave the building.
Really? So you think Ryan – it's a hell of a run last year they went on, man. Look, and I think he gets some leeway because of that.
I don't think so. Look, if you have a – they had, what, two or three transfer portal guys, one of them being a quarterback that left – I think yesterday or this morning, because Julian Sands, what, a redshirt sophomore, it's hard to decipher what that is, but he's listed as a redshirt sophomore. He's a young guy. He'll be back again. He looks like he just graduated eighth grade, honestly. I don't know if you – have you seen Julian Sands?
Yeah.
He looks like an eighth grader. He does. He's got a little butt part for his hair.
Right.
He looks like the nerd in Matilda.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
No, but I love
– Or alfalfa. You know, alfalfa, he has a little slick hair down the sides.
All right.
Has a little tip of the hair in the back. Doesn't have that, but he's got this sunshine type hair.
I like this opinionated Dr. Carroll. What do you want him to look like? Tex Cobb?
How about have a military haircut where you can see your ears?
You want him to look like you?
No, not like me, but at least look like, you know, somebody that has a haircut. I don't know.
So do you have a problem with Trevor Lawrence?
Nah, I mean, I call him Sunshine.
Let me tell you this right now, all right? I've been bald for 25 years, which is fine. I love the look I have.
Looks
God
fantastic.
Gave me this look. But I'm telling you, if I could grow hair, I would be Crystal Gale. I'd grow hair past my ass.
Yeah.
And I would get a big pony. I'm like Trace Atkins. He's got a ton of hair. That would be me.
Look, if right? you got hair, grow it. As they say in the business.
I don't have any hair on top of my head, so I shave it all. But this is a little personal, you and Julian saying right now.
Not Julian saying, it's just more of Ryan Day. It frustrates me that you get this entitled coach that inherited a team that luckily he's only kept these guys because of what the program is. It's like an Alabama of the Big Ten.
Okay.
That's all it is.
By the way, he darkens his beard.
He does. You got to stop doing that.
He looks like Garth Brooks. When Garth, because Garth, you had gray, now he looks like all the dark beard and dark, and no, don't.
If Garth Brooks had a tan, I think.
Yeah.
And I think he's always had a spray tan for the most part, but, yeah.
Ryan Day?
No.
God, you can't stand him.
I can't. I really can't. It bothers me because Fox broadcast always hypes them up to being the nth degree. I mean, so does national media.
Well, because that's their TV contract.
Right, but like. Big Ten, I get it. But look, if they're going to treat them that way, treat Indiana that way. Indiana is being treated like Vanderbilt.
Again, we have to change our mindset.
Yeah.
I still can't process that Indiana beat the living snot out of Alabama in the Rose Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having trouble figuring that out. And if they win the national championship, I'm kind of like, this is might be the best sports story of all time. If they win the national championship, because it's damn near there now because of what they've done.
The Cignetti Cinderella story. That's what it is.
And now we're going to have people like, all right, how did you do that? What's going on here? I mean, and it's just.
Did you see what he said or hear what he said at the Rose Bowl when they asked him about like making a movie?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, that'd be one hell of a movie.
Right?
Yeah, that's what he said.
I mean, he took the job at Indiana.
And turned them into a powerhouse.
I don't. There's no history. At least Vanderbilt's got history in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. That's a long time ago, but they've got history being there.
Indiana doesn't. All they
Zero.
Have are the red and white circus pants they wore for warm-ups and basketball.
Candy stripes, buddy.
Candy stripes. Thank you.
Watch your mouth over
Sorry.
There.
Wouldn't that be cool if Indiana did something like that in football for their pants? Candy stripe pants?
Are they allowed to?
I don't see why not. Everybody has that one pinstripe down the right, in the right and left of their leg. Why not do like pinstripes like the Yankees?
Yeah, you could do that.
That'd be pretty cool.
Uniform segment brought to you by Dr. Crane.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I just don't know. I mean, and what's Oregon going to wear one of their 78 different uniform combinations? That'd be a heck of a game, the Peach Bowl.
Don't knock that. Oregon's got some pretty cool uniforms.
Give me just the big O back, man.
The big O?
Yeah, give me the big O.
The big Joe O.
All right, let's take another break. If we're still on the air when we come back. By the way, Chris Sanders at 2 o'clock, Sean Henry from the Predators at 2:30. We're efforting right now a very cool guest that we're doing triple duty here in the studio, trying to bring on here that I think you guys would like. We're efforting that. We're not going to tell you who it is, because if we tell you who it is, it doesn't happen, then we look dumb. But if we tease it like, oh, we're trying, which we are, We'll let you guys know. We'll take another break. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show with Dr. Crane in today, brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel right here on 102.5 The Game.
Back here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Continuing our conversation of the transfer portal, college football, and why I do not like Ryan Day as a head coach for Ohio State.
You don't.
I don't.
Just real quick about I went to IU, and I guess the Candy Stripes actually started with the swim team. I can't remember why the basketball team adopted it, though. Don't quote me on that fact, though, as well. And those candy, I was looking at those candy stripe uniforms, hundreds of dollars if you want to buy one.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, don't the students there at Indiana, they have the overalls, the candy stripe overalls?
Yeah, hundreds of dollars to go buy on the pro shop or the college shop, whatever there.
I'm sure what you can do is just buy white overalls and just spray paint them with the red.
Yeah.
I mean, save yourself $300.
Nick Frazier, Temu.com.
Yeah.
7621, those Ole Miss helmets were sick last night. Talking about uniforms. Pretty badass.
I like that marble white, whatever that is.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
It looked like there's some sort of writing on there. That was kind of cool.
I hate you, Lane Kiffin. That's what it said.
Yeah, right? All right. Justin here says on the text, that one poor player in Ole Miss when he caught that touchdown and then they shut him on the sidelines looking like somebody's uncle with a receding hairline. Did you see it?
I did not.
He looked like – and Connor Newt, the rifleman, God bless him, said that the Ole Miss receiver that caught the touchdown looked like Phil Collins in the Easy Lover video. He looked exactly like Phil Collins in the Easy Lover video. I thought it was one of the kids like – that hang out on the team, like, oh, they put the necklace around his neck, a guy who never plays, and that was the guy that caught the touchdown. I'm like, this guy's 50, but good for him. And he caught the touchdown, and then he had the receding hairline. I'm like, ah, you go, buddy. All the receding hairline guys, we loved that last night.
Look, I make fun of people that have obviously probably a receding hairline or they don't have any hair. All my uncles are bald, so my time's coming. I just know it's coming.
That's right.
It's imminent.
All the Ohio Michigan fans on the text line are loving you, Dr. Crane. We can't stand Ryan Day. Jay from Laverne. We can't stand Ryan Day. I can't say what else he says after that. Just go blue. On and on. Ryan Day was born on third base.
That's good.
Oh, man. Thomas in Nashville. I love having Nick on the radio. Welcome back, guys. Happy New Year from Thomas on a car phone. Nick, dealing it out today, man.
Hey, appreciate it.
Who else are we going to go after?
I mean, I could go after a lot of people. I mean, for a time being, I was like Jeff Lebby hung the moon. But right now, if they win tonight, I'll be very content. I just put it there. I'll be very content with that. Let's see. Any other coaches?
Look, he did well.
He did. Yeah. I just a little perturbed. You couldn't get it done in overtime against Texas. And that's Tennessee. Okay.
Yeah. But that was a team expected to win three or four games.
That's true.
I know they won five. But they're in a bowl game, so celebrate.
By default.
That's all right. That's all right. But celebrate with them tonight.
You're right.
It's not your fault that Ole Miss is in the semifinals.
I'm trying to find what other college football person aggravates me.
Heupel?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Bigsby can bring that one up.
Brando.
Brando, yeah. Brando, please. This is your moment.
Brando the producer.
I like it. So I've been sitting back. I've been taking in all of the bowl predictions. And, Frazier, I give you credit. You kind of inspired me with this one. I think the 2026 is Josh Heupel's final year as the head coach of the Tennessee Volunteers. I do not like where things are trending. And the biggest thing is that typically the number one sign that a coach is on the hot seat is when they have to make an influx of moves within their coaching staff. And we've seen Tennessee make a lot of changes within that staff over the last few days. I think the pressure is being put on Josh Heupel. I think that it's to a point now to where they've seen where the program can be. He's done a good job getting them back from an irrelevant place. However, in this new era with the transfer portal and so much money being dumped into these programs, coaches are not nearly as safe as they used to be. I could see Tennessee moving on from Josh Heupel.
Didn't they fire the strength coach yesterday?
Yes, they did. Yep.
So he's gone
from the D.C. as well, right?
Yeah, D.C.'s gone. They hired that Jim Knowles guy that's coming in. Chase and I called that did the pre- and post-game tonight. We were commenting about Heupel's body language after that game. He just – the opt-outs, the frustration, he looks like a guy that would rather go sit on the beach and just be done. And I get it, Josh. I'm with you, man.
He looked defeated.
He did. He just said – his post-game was like, I want to thank the seniors who stuck around and committed and never let us down and stayed with us. I was like – because if in a regular season game, I'm telling you, regular season game, Tennessee beats Illinois by 21 points.
Yeah, you're probably right on that because they don't have all these – you're right, all the opt-outs.
They're all playing. You're still in the mix of everything. Now, being unprepared and uninspired, it's Josh Heupel's fault.
Yeah, I would say that's a coach right there.
Right. So you recruit – you got starters, but you have it too deep for a reason. That if one guy goes down, number two steps in.
Next man up.
And number two stepped in, and I know they only lost, but I get it, by 2 points, right? And they played terrible. And it'll only take your victory lap. But Tennessee couldn't have cared less to be there.
You know, when Brando mentioned that comment about Josh Heupel, all I could think about was Chase and yourself when you guys had on Paul Feinbaum. And someone asked the question, well, if Tennessee goes 7-5 or 8-4, is he kind of on the hot seat? And he goes, no, I don't think so. Yeah, it definitely is. I thought so. I was thinking completely opposite.
Well, if you don't go in the portal and fix some big needs and you go into the season, I don't think they necessarily need a quarterback. I like George McIntyre, and they got the 5-star coming in. Develop those guys. It's easy to get a quarterback out of the portal that's 4-star and say, go do this. But develop. You got a guy in there free. And if I'm McIntyre, I'm pissed off.
Yep.
And the 5-star that's coming in to compete. Look, competition's good, right? So, but you got McIntyre in there for a reason. Let him see what he could do.
The optics are not great because, again, if you're a quarterback, you're thinking, you're going to use this NIL money on another quarterback and not an offensive lineman? Not on people that can protect me that's already here? That's what would frustrate me as a player, is if you're a head coach or an organization, as I like to call these colleges now, why are you not helping out your current roster instead of going grabbing other players at that current position and replacing those guys? Because it to me, sends the message of, I don't believe in you. I don't believe in the player I currently have on my roster. That's what the message sends for me.
Oh, I totally agree with on that. And it's something else, man. By the way, you got people on fire on the text line here, Dr. Crane. Is Ryan Day? You think Ryan Day has his neck? Do you think Ryan Day is on the hot seat?
Yeah, 100%.
I don't.
I do. Look, the reason being,
who are you going to get any better?
But that's the issue. A lot of these teams that go all in for the playoff, like in Alabama and Ohio State right now, and I think maybe even Oklahoma. Like when we talk about Josh Heupel now, this might be it. Maybe potentially with Tennessee. If Oklahoma ends up having a dud season, I can see them moving on from Brent Venables. And then what happens? Heupel goes home to Oklahoma. That is a total logical observation
right
there.
You know what I think is funny? Is like the Power Four, like, group of five, stay away from us. We don't want you. Just give us your coaches, your players, and everything else you got there. I find the hypocrisy hilarious.
Yeah.
We don't want you. Stay away. Stay away. You group of five idiots. You don't deserve anything. By the way, can we have your safety and your center and your quarterback and your wide receiver and then your punter and your kid? I mean, just the hypocrisy is nuts.
Add the golf cart with that, too.
Yeah. Our buddy Chip Walters texted in and said Jacoby Thomas had the interception for Miami. And I should know this, and I don't know why I didn't, is a former MTSU player.
Yeah.
Who got the opportunity to move up. So, like Coach Wells said earlier in the show, you are now a one-year program. Mm-hmm. So Ryan Day, he's a one-year program. He won the national championship last year, which I think was a badass run because he knocked off guys like Tennessee, Oregon, beat Notre Dame in the final. Who's the other team they beat?
I have to go back and look.
It wasn't Georgia, was it? No, Georgia got beat by Notre Dame. Gosh, who was it? Oh, my gosh.
Tennessee, Oregon, Texas.
Texas.
That's it, yeah.
That's a hell of a run, man. So I give Ryan Day a little bit. And then, look, you give me a team filled with 5-stars, hell yeah, I'm taking that more than I am a team with 1-star.
Yeah.
I always said for years, if Nick Saban wanted to prove how great of a coach he was, come to Vanderbilt, like in 2012 when Franklin left.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Vandy. See what you could do there. Now you got me fired up.
Look, it's a fired up
look
Friday.
Look at you, man.
Fired up Friday.
They used to be called something else, but no more.
Nah.
Fired up Friday,
fired
buddy.
Friday.
Nick Frazier, Dr. Crane. By the way, we're still efforting our guest, and you'd love it if we get it. So stick with us here, right here on the Chase and Big Joe Show. Chase off today, but Dr. Crane in. Coming up next, our good friend Chris Sanders, the Titans, with their final game on Sunday, which nobody's talking about. But we will a little bit with Chris Sanders, who gives a different perspective as the Titans take on the Jaguars on a Sunday. Much more right here on 102.5 The Game.